So we had a few already share last week, and then a few also share in English service today. So first up, we're going to have Daniel Pan share. Daniel is a first-time attendee of Taiwan Mission Trip, so we'll have him share first. Oh. So we will hand out headphones for Chinese translation.
So no side by side.
Oh, okay.
So now you can just, yeah. Should we wait for the headphones or?
Hello. My name is Daniel Pan, and this is my first time on Taiwan Mission Trip. Since this was my first year, I didn't really know what to expect. I just hoped that I wouldn't mess up and that I could teach the kids English and about God well. Going into the first camp in Taipei, I taught the youngest group of kids with no teaching experience. I asked God to help me learn how to teach and how to connect with the children. Thankfully, I didn't teach alone. I taught with Esther. She was able to teach me how to teach, but most importantly, how to interact with the kids in order to gain their friendship and respect. Because of this, the Taipei camp went really smooth and my worries lessened. After Taipei was the Hengchun camp. In Hengchun, I taught one of the younger groups again, this time with Hodiah. Since both of us were new to the Taiwan mission trip, I was worried that no one would be able to take charge. So I prayed and asked God to help me take charge in my group, to help my kids listen to me. So God heard my prayer and helped both me and Hodiah get the kids under control. After two camps, I thought I was set. I didn't have any worries until I heard that I was teaching one of the older groups. So I wasn't used to teaching older groups, so I was worried that I wouldn't be able to teach them effectively. And so I prayed and asked God to help me adjust to teaching to their age. And so God answered my prayer, and I taught with Ruthie's group, teaching fifth graders. I was able to teach well with Ruthie helping me, and I had a really fun time. I actually ended up having a blast in Kaohsiung. And throughout the whole trip, I constantly worried, so I prayed. God always answered my prayers and helped me. I know that I can always ask God to help me when I need it. He also helped me have an amazing time in Taiwan, and I hope that he can continue to bless me with more experiences like this.
Thank you, Daniel. The next one we're going to share is Pride. Pride is also his first time here in Taiwan.
Yeah. Okay. Good morning, everyone. My name is Pride, and I'm going to be sharing my experience on the Taiwan mission trip. This was my first time ever going on a mission trip, so I did not really know what to expect. I had the option to go last year, but I have not traveled in a long time, and I didn't feel confident enough to teach the kids. I also seriously doubted that I could really make a positive impact on the kids, and I felt as though I wouldn't meet the team's expectations and standards, so I decided not to go. This year, a lot of people around me encouraged me to go, which made me feel like people believed in me. It gave me the confidence I needed to feel like, I could do a good job teaching. I also thought that this would be a really good learning experience for me as well, to learn and to work on a team to teach and help kids in Taiwan. So I made the decision to go this year. However, I've always struggled with airplane rides in the past. I would throw up and get extremely sick during the rides. The thought that I would have to go on two 15-hour plane rides in the span of 3 weeks didn't sound very fun to me, but I knew that eventually I would have to go on an airplane whether I like it or not, so I decided that this wouldn't stop me. The night before we left the States, I asked God to protect us on the airplane trip and prayed that I wouldn't get sick on the airplane. I still ended up getting sick on the airplane, but God helped me recover pretty quickly at the airport. And by the time we took the second flight from Hong Kong to Taipei, I was fully recovered. So thank God for that. We spent the first couple of days just having fun, exploring the malls and eating at restaurants. I am really thankful that Pastor made sure that we had a lot of resting time to prepare for the camps. The night before the first day of camp in Taipei, I prayed to God that I would be able to teach well and connect to my kids. During the camp, I was assigned to Group 7 with Ruthie, and I felt really good about that. Group 7 had kids from the 9 to 11 age range, so they were relatively easier to teach compared to the younger kids, and Ruthie had a lot of experience teaching kids in previous mission trips. It was nice to teach with someone that had experience. Ruthie led the class, and I helped her out whenever I could. The Group 7 kids were really well-behaved, and they listened to whatever we said, so it made teaching a lot easier. We ended up finishing our activities early every time because the kids always focused hard and didn't get distracted. I tried talking to them and getting to know them during lunch, but most of them were a little shy, so getting to know them was a slow process. At the end of the first camp day, all of us gathered for a meeting. We talked about the struggles and problems everyone had to deal with during the day. I learned from the meeting that not everybody had an easy time like me and Ruthie. Most of the other team members had many loud, difficult children that were really hard to deal with. And a lot of the members had to focus on teaching and behaving their kids at the same time, while all I had to focus on was just teaching and getting all the activities done. Pastor Xu decided to move me to Group 6 because the only teacher for Group 6 was Karen. And most of the time, Karen had to leave the group to take pictures. So Group 6 didn't have a teacher for most of the day. I was really sad to leave Group 7, but I realized that being on a team means that everyone has to work together, and sometimes you have to do things you don't like for the good of everyone else. Although I was reluctant, God comforted me. He reminded me that I was working for the team and not just for myself, and that this was the right thing to do. The next 2 days ended up being a lot harder for me. The Group 6 kids were mostly rowdy and hard to control, and they kept yelling and fighting with the other helper in the group. The kids were really confused to see me as well, since I hadn't been introduced as their teacher the day before. And to them, it seemed like I'd randomly joined them out of nowhere. I wasn't able to connect really well with the kids, and the whole environment was a lot more chaotic. I wasn't really sure what to do most of the time. As the third day rolled around, I managed to finally connect with some of the kids during the game day with activities outside. We were able to bond by singing worship songs with ice in our mouths. One kid in particular named Anthony was a lot nicer to me. At the end of the camp, I felt a little sad that I wasn't able to connect very well with my kids before, and I thought that I kind of failed at my job. But being able to make friends with Anthony helped me feel better as a teacher. Overall in Taipei, I learned a lot about the structure of how their camps will go, and although I struggled a lot, I felt much more prepared and ready to teach in the next camp in Hunsun. In Hunsun, the camp was a little different. We had to teach for 4 days of camp, and the camp was held in a Christian hospital. Hunsun was also a much more rural place. A lot of the kids grow up in a tougher environment. We also only had 2 helpers for the whole camp, which meant that most of the camp was put into our hands, which was a more difficult task for us compared to the camp in Taipei. I prayed to God that my teaching experience in Taipei would help me teach in the second camp. On the first day, I was assigned to teach Group F with Sherry. Like Ruthie, Sherry was very experienced at teaching, and I was glad to teach with Sherry. Similar to Group 7 in Taipei, the kids in Group F were also in the age range of 9 to 11. The kids were cute and nice to me, but a couple kids in particular would keep fighting. But luckily, I was able to keep them quiet. At the end of the first camp day, we had a meeting to discuss the issues we had to deal with during the day. Isaac told everyone that his group was really loud and hard to control, and teaching by himself was really hard to manage. Pastor decided to move me to Isaac's group to help him out. I was really sad to move groups again. I felt like I couldn't make connections with the kids if I kept having to switch groups, but I recognized that everyone else has their struggles, and Isaac needed my help. I prayed to God that night that I could get to know Isaac's kids fast and learn to teach from him. God answered my prayer, and the following days of camp were a lot better than I expected. Teaching with Isaac was really great, and I learned a lot from him. Isaac really knew how to have fun with the kids, and they all liked him a lot. Isaac's group was very rowdy, however. But with me and Isaac both there, it was a lot easier to keep them under control. At the end of the camps, I was really thankful that I ended up teaching with Isaac. Throughout the camps, I observed how he taught, and I was able to take away a lot of the things he was doing right. We were both able to make friends with a lot of the kids. On the last day of camp, it really made me happy when so many kids came up to us and asked us to sign their English camp books. That really made me feel like I had a positive impact on them and that they truly saw me as a good teacher. Also, when Pastor asked all the kids to accept Jesus, I saw so many kids raise their hand to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, which really touched me. Before the trip, I thought that it was unbelievable that I could really make an everlasting positive impact on the kids in Taiwan. But seeing so many kids accept Jesus really proved me wrong. Accepting Jesus is the greatest and most important choice anyone could make, and I definitely think that I at least helped a couple of kids make the right choice. This really gave me confidence, and I was really happy from the last day. That day made me realize that going on this mission trip was definitely worth it, and I 100% had no regrets in coming. The final camp was in Kaohsiung, and I felt more prepared than ever to teach. The two previous camps gave me a lot of experience, and I felt I could really apply what I learned from the first two camps to teach really well in the last camp. There were 33 helpers, and the children were separated into very small groups of 6 to 7 kids. I felt really good about that, as I really could connect one-on-one with each kid. Although I had to manage my own group without another team member to rely on, my experience from the past groups helped me a lot in teaching on my own. I was able to connect with each of my group members, and this time I finally got to stay with my group from beginning to end. I am so thankful for that. And I felt I taught the best I ever had in Kaohsiung. Comparing from the time I taught in Taipei to Kaohsiung, I really felt I improved a lot, and I was really happy because of that. On the last day of Kaohsiung, many kids ran up to me to ask me to sign their English booklet, and I felt really proud of that. I was really sad to see everyone go on the last day. I wish I could just take some of the kids with me back home. The last night before we left back to the States, I thank God for all the help and protection he brought me and the whole team during their mission trip. I truly felt blessed by God, and I'm grateful for his guidance throughout this experience. I really felt this trip was not only an amazing learning experience for me, but also an opportunity to connect to God and God's people. I'm so thankful to everyone on the team and my family that constantly prayed for me. Thank you.
Thank you. And so the third person, first time trip, so we're going to have Hodiah share. Hodiah? Where's Hodiah? Oh, in the back. Okay, he's coming forward. Hodiah is also a first time here, and last week you also heard from Ruth. So this year we had multiple first time members, and each one of them did a great job. I think the first camp you're a little bit nervous, but by the third camp, you already have the experience necessary. So Hodiah is going to share.
Hello, my name is Hodiah. This was my first time going to Taiwan. The first time I heard about Taiwan mission trip was when I heard Tiffany's testimony a few years ago. I found it so cool that it was possible to travel to different places to teach kids about God. I had only heard about missionaries, but never thought I could be able to go too. So when I found out that I could go this year after I got baptized, I was really excited. I wanted to go, but my mom was concerned about my health, so we prayed. We asked Pastor Jack Lee to pray for us, and he said he saw me going from place to place, from big cities to small towns. We thought that meant God wanted me to go. So I got really excited. Then my mom tried telling me a lot of ways to make sure kids listen while teaching. Later, I was even more excited because my friend Ruth said that she was going too. I printed out all of the teaching packets to study with pictures to go with each subject. I also wrote down all of the pinyin for all of the vocabulary on the packets. I felt so ready to teach. At the airport, I was excited but also unsure of what to expect. On the airplane, Ruth fell asleep almost an hour on the plane. I had a little bit of trouble sleeping, so I ended up sleeping at around 4 or 5 in the morning. When we arrived at Taiwan, I was surprised to see how green Taiwan was. I didn't think there would be so many trees. I wasn't as jet-lagged as I thought it'd be, maybe because I slept really late on the plane. We had a few days in Taipei before the camp started, so we did a bit of shopping and went to Taipei 101. I got to know a little more about Taiwan and the camps I was going to teach in a few days. Right before the camp started, I started getting nervous. What if I don't know how to say something in Chinese, or if I say something that they might not like? I was put in the same group as Isaac, and when the kids first came in, he immediately started talking to them. I forgot how to speak Chinese. I nervously watched the kids, not really sure what to say to get to know them. I started gaining more confidence when we went to the classroom and I had a chance to talk to them individually and get to know them. I tried teaching and had a lot of fun asking them questions and seeing them pay attention. I didn't know I had a Chinese accent until I said zemen, and they all stared at me in confusion. In Taipei, I had a larger group with around 14 kids. A problem that came up was that our class had inconsistent helpers. There was one that only came on 2 days, while one had family problems to tend to. So for the first day, we didn't have any helpers after lunch. I was really confused. It was my first day, and I had no idea what I should do. Sometimes I had to take one kid to do something, while Isaac would have to take another kid, and I couldn't leave until he came back, or else there would be no one in the classroom. Or maybe the kids were fighting, and I wasn't sure what to say to them, because I was afraid they wouldn't understand me, or I wouldn't be able to find the right word. One time when they were arguing, I thought of what my mom said before. She said at work, when the kids wouldn't sleep or when she had a problem with the kids, she would pray for them. I decided to try that. I prayed for them during nap time and when they fought. I also prayed for myself to be calm and have patience with the kids and know what to say. When I prayed, the kids would stop fighting and I would know how to tell them what they should do instead of fighting, even though just a few seconds ago, I wouldn't even know what to say. The Bible verse for the first day of camp was, God hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. This day helped prove how true that verse was. The last day of the Taipei camp was really fun. I got to talk more with the helper and the kids. I was really sad when we had to leave the kids. Even though the first and second day was confusing for me, I got to know the kids and spend time with them. Next, we went to Hengchun. It was more rural than Taipei, which I found really nice. I was in the same group as Daniel, and we taught with Sherry and Pride. My group was third to fourth graders. When I first met the kids, I was only nervous for a little bit before getting to know them. There weren't as many helpers, but teaching was easier because there was more people and the kids already knew a lot of English, so we didn't have to ask that many questions as in Taipei. Next day, Pride was changed into another group. The kids in Hengchun were supposed to have more energy than the kids in Taipei, so thank you, God, for giving me a calmer group. The kids would listen during class, and a lot of them went to English school, so they already knew a lot of the things we were teaching them. The camp in Hengchun had 4 days instead of three, so I got to spend more time with the kids. I was really sad to leave the kids on the last day. Kaohsiung was our last destination before returning to America. I kind of knew how things went by then, so I didn't really expect that much of a difference in the kids' behavior compared to the other camps. I was really surprised when I heard that everyone was leading a group of six kids on their own, and there were two helpers in each group. The church in Kaohsiung was really pretty, and the helpers were really helpful. I got to teach with Pride and Sherry. The kids I taught were older than the kids I taught in the last two camps. They were more involved in the class. The helpers helped keep the kids quiet and attentive during class, and most of the kids in my group were really nice and fun. There were two boys in my class that ran around and hit each other and got in a lot of trouble. I feel like the helpers were always with the other kids in the group, so the boys thought it was okay to be disruptive. I prayed for the boys to listen and behave. They listened to me when they weren't together for the first 2 days, but on the third day, they calmly walked in and listened to all of the instructions, even when they were together. Thank you, God. In the first camp in Taipei, I was really nervous to talk to the kids and was nervous to help the kids perform their chant. In Kaohsiung, I felt more comfortable teaching the kids the chant and helping them perform it. I enjoyed being able to lead the kids on my own and the satisfaction of seeing them learning and enjoying it. When I was with the kids, I tried to listen and talk to every kid, trying to keep it fair, because I knew what it was like when the teacher only paid attention to a few students and how bad it felt to be ignored by the teacher. In every camp on the last day, we would have an altar call, and every time, so many kids would raise their hands and accept God into their lives. I was really happy to see so many kids accept Jesus, and even if they might not understand what it meant and just raise their hands, they were able to make a promise to believe in God and try to understand him more. Even if they didn't understand the Bible verses and songs at the times, the words could make a difference in their lives as they continued to learn about English and about God. I was able to see and experience the different lifestyles and saw that even though they were different, they were still able to love and respect God in their own way. The day we were leaving Taiwan, we found out that the tail of a typhoon was going to hit Taiwan right after we left. In Taiwan, everyone was healthy and only got sick on the way of returning home. Thank you, God, for keeping us all safe in Taiwan. Thank you so much, Pastor Jocelyn, for encouraging me and giving me an opportunity to go on this mission trip. I enjoyed my time in Taiwan, and I hope to go on Taiwan mission trip again next year to teach kids about English and God.
And so the next one sharing will be Natalie. This is Natalie's second time on the trip, and then the next two people sharing will be two individuals who are going to go off to college next month. So, Natalie.
I'm Natalie, and this is my second time on TMT. As the van pulled up to the entrance of the church, a feeling of excitement ballooned in my chest. It felt so good to be back here in Taipei again. I couldn't wait to welcome new faces, greet returning campers, and see how much my former students had changed. Unlike the nervousness I experienced last year, I came this year feeling more prepared to not only take on unexpected challenges, but also build upon my teaching skills. After meeting all my students and getting to know them, I eagerly waited for camp to begin and worship to start. This year, I had the oldest group in Taipei, which comprised of rising 4th to 7th graders. Out of my 9 campers, 6 had already been to camp before. Jeff, the oldest in the group, had been coming to camp for the past 4 years, this year marking his 5th. Oscar, one of my youngest, had been coming to camp for 3 years. Peggy, Ivy, Sandy, and Suzanne all returned for their second year at camp and told me they would continue to come until they became helpers. Their reappearance was a testament to how much this camp impacted them and how much they enjoyed being within God's presence. Within those next few days of camp, I had hoped I'd be able to positively shape the experiences of my newcomers, Dora, Mandy, and Claire, and help foster that same joy of returning to camp and embracing God's warmth every year. Something that I noticed throughout each camp was how much my students loved these extra in-between interactions beyond class. From exchanging our daily living experiences with each other to me giving Jeff and Claire math problems during break time, there was never a moment when I wasn't laughing or learning. Even during class, the Taipei campers had asked me what grocery stores were like in the U.S. during our supermarket unit. And I remember the shock on their faces when I told them that dragon fruit was a rarity and that mangoes in the U.S. were half the size of the mangoes in Taiwan. But even with all the fun and giggles, they organized something that has never happened before to me, and it truly moved me. On the last day of camp, I was in the middle of reading the vocab when I was met with silence. Expecting the repetition of words back to me, I looked up from my book to see what they were doing. They glanced around at each other and then magically, on cue, all thanked me in unison. The feeling I had at that moment was a jumbled mixture of comfort, gratitude, and affection. It really taught me that the smallest acts of kindness, whether that be in the form of appreciation or recognition, really do make a difference. Something so blissful and sincere is hard to come by these days, and I'm grateful I was able to share the gospel and serve the children who expressed that to me. Coming back for a second year has been nothing short of incredible experiences and lifelong memories, and I thank God again for giving me this opportunity to share his word and lead others to walk with him.
And the next is Sherry. Sherry is also headed off to college, so she's been to Taiwan Missions multiple times, and so today she'll share her experience at Taiwan Mission.
Hi, my name is Sherry, and this is my fourth time attending Taiwan Mission trip. There are never enough words for me to express how much I love the camps and working with the children and watching them grow through the 3 to 4 days we see them. I don't know what to expect this year, and because I didn't attend Taiwan Mission Trip in 2018, I felt that I would be behind the other members in terms of familiarity and knowledge of teaching in the camps. Although I had 3 years prior worth of experience, there was still part of me that doubted myself and my abilities, but all of my worries would later be brushed away when the camps began, being with the children and working with the Taiwan teens was like second nature to me. I also thank my parents for pushing me to learn and speak Chinese all those years in the past to get me to how fluent I am now, as it makes the interactions between the children a lot easier. For the Taipei camp, I was the leader for Group 5, the Flying Elephants, along with Ruth. From spending the first couple hours with the kids, I could already tell that there would be a couple of troublemakers, mainly this trio of boys. The three of them would fool around a lot to the point where it would disrupt the group. They would hit each other playfully, run around and chase each other and tackle each other, everything that nine-year-old boys would do. Each day, I would leave the camps feeling so drained, praying that they would be calmer the next day and that they would sit through the English class with more patience. Besides teaching, I was also constantly taking videos for this slideshow and would have a camera with me a lot of the times when I was with the group. Part of me was terrified that one of the kids would accidentally break a lens or smash a screen because I would be helping the kids figure out the science and art projects while carrying a camera in my other hand. At one point, we were sitting in the sanctuary as we waited for everyone to gather, and I was taking videos of some kids when two brothers from my group, the ones that were always running around and reckless, were glued to my camera screen, silently watching me as I caught a moment on video. When I sat down again, I hear one of the two brothers ask me about the camera. It turns out that he's interested in technology like phones and cameras. He even told me about the ones he had at home and how he loved using them. This was the first time since the first day that he sat still and talked for so long about one subject without goofing off with his brother or friends. At this point, all of the five other boys in my group were gathered around me, looking at me with wide eyes as I explained to them how a lens and a camera worked. It made me so happy to be able to talk about one of my hobbies and passions, even though I never expected for the people I talked with to be second grade boys. All of their eyes were fixed on the camera lens as I showed them how zooming worked, and a couple of them excitedly exclaimed that they could see what I was talking about. I had spent the past 2 days trying to figure out different ways to see how I could calm them down and get them to listen, and never would have thought that teaching them basics about a camera would be the solution. When each group performed, I had my phone out to take pictures of the groups when we, the Boston team, were called on stage. I think it was Eric who asked me if he could take photos from me on my phone as he watched me take photos of others. I hesitated, thoughts running through my head, as I knew giving my phone to a kid wasn't what I should have done, except he seemed so genuinely interested in photography that I ended up obliging and sternly told him that he could only use the camera app and nothing else, to which he said, I know. Teacher, hurry up, everyone's already going on stage. I couldn't help but laugh as I joined everyone on stage. Standing in front of everyone, I saw that all the kids and helpers were sitting on the floor like they were supposed to, except for the six boys in my group. The five others were huddled around Eric, who had my phone, watching him take pictures of us on stage. A feeling of warmth filled me as my friends asked me if those were my kids and saying how adorable they were when I said they were. I couldn't stop smiling as I watched the five other boys direct Eric on how high up to hold my phone, seeing their small fingers point at us on stage and whispering to Eric to point the phone this way and that. It was the first time I saw all six of the boys cooperating and not arguing about who took whose pencils or toys. I was so thankful that God heard my prayers and allowed me to bond with the kids in my group through one of my passions while allowing the troublesome boys to calm down and resulting in a moment at the camps that I would never forget. At the Henswin camp, I was in charge of leading Group E, the Mango Elephants, with pride. From the first day of camp, I thought that my group would be an easy group to take care of as all the kids seemed to listen well. Little did I know that my group would turn out to be the complete opposite. I had an older named kid, Paul, who attended the camps 2 years ago with his brother Ringo in my group. Paul seemed quiet and hesitant at first before I greeted him and told him that I missed him from 2 years ago, to which he broke into a huge smile and proceeded to help me in so many different ways. In class, I taught alongside Pride, Dano, and Hodiah. In the past, I've always taught by myself or with one other person, so having three others I could count on while teaching made teaching a whole lot easier, even if all three of them were first-timers. On the second day, two new kids named Abby and Mike joined my group, and from that moment on, my group turned into complete chaos. Abby would talk constantly with the other kids and bring her toys, and no matter how many times I told her to stop and put them away, she wouldn't listen or would throw a fit. During class, she would refuse to sit in the empty seats and complain that she wanted to sit next to one of the other girls who didn't want her to sit there. Teachers from other groups would come over and tell me that Abby would hit the kids in their groups, to which I would have to go over and speak to her personally about why she couldn't do that. Again, I would pray that God would soften Abby's heart and have her realize that sometimes their actions cause trouble for others, and I could see some improvement throughout the days. I also realized that it seemed as if each kid in my group needed personal attention, and that if I took my eyes off of any one of them, it would immediately start causing trouble. This was especially true with a boy named Cody, who if anyone asked him or if anyone tried to talk to him or touch him, he would reply with a kick or a punch. He once kneed one of my other kids, John, in the face and would constantly be fighting with Max, who was another troublemaker in my group. On the second day, I would find out that Cody's dad hit him, which answered my questions, asked why he was so violent towards others who touched him. It made me so upset that someone would treat their kids to the point where all of the kids' understandment was violence and reciprocated that behavior towards others. So I would pray for him every day after the camps ended. I could tell that Cody was trying harder each day to be less violent, and fewer fights broke out between the kids. On the last day, when everyone was saying goodbye, Cody came up to me and said that his dad was here to pick him up. I smiled and hugged him goodbye and told him to come back next year. But when he turned to walk away, a sense of uneasiness couldn't leave my heart. I saw that Cody, his father, and his baby sister were still standing in the hallway outside, so I ran up to him again. When his father heard me call Cody's name, he turned around and kind of glared at me and asked me what I wanted, to which I replied that I wanted to say bye to his son one more time. The father's tone and face seemed to soften when he saw him run up to me and give me another hug and thanked me before turning and leaving. I also had a girl named Peggy who was constantly grabbing onto me and laying or sitting on me, and a boy named Max who, no matter how many times anyone told him to sit down, would run around and cause chaos to everyone in the camp. So having to deal with all the other kids while having Peggy hanging off my arms and Max running around was super tiring. Even other teachers came up to me and would tell me how tiring it was for me to get everyone in my group cooperating, as some kid was always running around or arguing with someone, and I would always be rushing around. Although my Huntsman camp was a handful to take care of, I'm so thankful to have the kids that I had, because they taught me a very important lesson of patience. The Huntsman camp was the one where it also dawned on me that it had been 5 years since I joined my first Taiwan mission trip. During my first year, I had two sisters in my group named Angela and Emma, who are both students in the oldest group at the camps. I never thought about them growing up until the second day of camps this year, when Emma suddenly appeared in my group, and while my group was making posters and hugged me, saying how she missed me when I wasn't there last year. While we talked, I couldn't help but feel proud of her as I witnessed her growth through the camps. 5 years is a long time, and though the camps always changed in the past, the Huntsman camps has always been consistent, which allowed me to see familiar faces grow up through the years. The last camp we did was Kaohsiung, and though it was my first time at this camp, it didn't take long for me to become acquainted with the church and all the helpers. Even though I was already so mentally exhausted from the first two camps, knowing that I'd be meeting more kids and spending time with them was enough for me to be excited about third camp. When I was told that there would be 33 Taiwan helpers at the camp, I was so relieved that there would be two others working alongside me. I didn't feel any stress going to this camp. I was in charge of Group 4B, the Running Apples, along with my two Taiwan helpers, Irene and Christina. I was so thankful for them, as they did the majority of keeping the kids where they're supposed to be, so I didn't have to strain myself to look after every kid. Because Christina caught a cold during the second day, she switched to helping the admin team, and because of that, I got to know Irene a lot better. I taught with Pride and Hodiah, and after the first day, we all realized that most of the kids were already fluent in English enough for them to complete the booklet themselves. We would then play some games, as a lot of them didn't like sitting still for long periods of time, even if the games ended up with unfair points because the kids would get too excited about each round. The classrooms we taught in also had a speaker system, so we would hook up my phone to the aux cord, and all four groups would be so eager to learn and practice their group songs. On the last day of the Kaohsiung camp, I wanted the Boston teachers to be able to perform a song of our choice after each group did theirs, and after asking and getting the pastor's approval, Tiffany quickly came up with a performance dance to the song "This Is Living." It was one of the most fun experiences I've had on stage at the camps as we danced to the song, and I could hear the kids and helpers screaming and cheering us on. Once we finished, all six of my kids surrounded me and exclaimed how talented we were and how they wanted to perform as we did. I filled my heart with joy that they were so happy and inspired by our performance we had come up with in 10 minutes or so. Throughout all the camps, I had been pushing away the thought that it would be my last time at the camps, but I couldn't keep it away as we sang the last songs on stage at Kaohsiung. I don't have the appropriate words to describe how I felt while watching all the kids dance along to the worship songs. I was both sad and happy at the same time, because I knew that even if this was my last time at the camps, I still experienced so many life-changing experiences that I couldn't be bothered to feel anything but an overwhelming feeling of happiness and gratefulness. I'm so thankful to have been able to join Taiwan Mission Trip one more time before my life gets hectic with college. Although the camps were exhausting in the moment, it was always rewarding at the end when I realized the impact that we have on the camps. Everyone who knows me, even my school friends, knows how much these camps, the kids, and the helpers mean to me, and I couldn't be more thankful to have been able to experience it all in Taiwan, the country where I call my second home. It has also opened my eyes and taught me important lessons like how to be patient with so many kids and troublemakers, and the importance of encouragement as I bonded with kids from other groups through words of encouragement to push them to do things outside of their comfort zones. I'm so grateful to have been able to travel to Taiwan and teach other camps alongside some of my closest friends and simultaneously become closer with other youth at church. Even if it meant becoming an older sister figure to the guys, as I would make sure they woke up each morning, remind them to stop playing video games, to take a shower, clean their dirty clothes, or share my perfume with them to make sure they didn't stink of sweat to the point where they called me mom. I don't think I've realized how different my life would be next year, even on this trip, with Ruthie and Esther's constant talk about how I won't be here next year due to college, because for the past 13 years that I've grown up in this church, it's always been the same for me. The thought of not attending this church every Sunday and my routine life changing as I head into the unknown of college is foreign to me. I want to thank God and this church for being a mentor in my life and giving me opportunities like Taiwan Mission Trip that I never knew would impact my life in the way it did. Taiwan Mission Trip will always hold a special place in my heart, and I'm forever grateful for the memories that come from the trip, and I hope that I don't fall too far into college debt so I can return to the camps in the near future.
And so that kind of wraps up all of our Taiwan Mission sharing. Just have a brief thing to share at the end. So after hearing everyone's Taiwan Mission testimony today and seeing the slideshow, I hope that everyone can understand and see how excited we are to return back to Taiwan every summer and to serve God and the work that he's doing over there. This year, for myself, I was definitely overwhelmed by everything that God showed me on this trip, and especially what I could see as the heart of the Father for this next generation, all the youth on this trip, and how he was creating fishers of men. Throughout every training meeting, which we start typically the first week of May, so we meet every single Sunday after lunch, through the last day of camp in Kaohsiung, I was impressed by the teamwork and the team unity that each member showed. As you heard today, leading 100-plus students at every single camp is not easy, but when everybody knows what their role is, how they can serve on a team, and how they can support one another, it makes the job a lot easier, and it also allows for us to pull off 3 successful camps. What I saw in this year's team was the heart and the mindset of David when he saw the ark enter Jerusalem and how he responded to the presence of God. So in 2 Samuel 6:14, it says, "Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sounds of trumpets." In the Message translation, it says that David was celebrating extravagantly. So as Pastor Jocelyn shared last Sunday, this year's Taiwan Mission team really exceeded our expectations. Each team member brought their talents, their gifts, the best that they had to offer to the table. And they used their talents to bring glory to God throughout the 3 weeks. You could see it in just how the team was unified and just how the team wanted to serve the children and each other and just their joyful spirits. I saw everybody jump, dance, act, sing, play with the children. You know, if you saw in the video, during the water times, I think our team had the most fun when we were just throwing water balloons at the children. But in every moment of those camps and every moment of those 3 weeks, everybody just had a unified heart and wanted to show through their love for Jesus and their attitude as a great testimony for the children and how God loved them like we love them. So over these past 12 years, we have been so greatly blessed by the love and support from our church. From our weekly fundraising for everybody to have confidence to buy what we're selling out there for Taiwan Mission, right? From monetary support, from just prayers, but also to people like Reimei Ai, who lends us her phone every year to go to Taiwan so that people can connect with us. And we always get people that remember every year to year just to call us during those 3 weeks just to connect with us. But also our great partners and our hosts in Taiwan. So we have the privilege to serve the local churches in Taiwan and in Taipei, Hengchun, and Kaohsiung, and to see the hard work and dedications of all the pastors and co-workers in those areas. Our camp coordinators, from Pastor Ye in Taipei to Jiru in Hengchun and to Pastor Chen and Pastor Luo in Kaohsiung, all of those coordinators took care of our team with all their hearts that every night, they would either bring us out to dinner or bring us dinner, or they pick us up in the morning and make multiple trips, because who in Taiwan owns a 12, 13-passenger vehicle, right? So a lot of them had to do multiple trips to come and get us, to bring us to the camp. But through their sacrifice and love, we were able to see God's glory in Taiwan. So lastly, I just want to thank Sherry and Ruthie also for helping to take a lot of the footage that you saw in the slideshow. With their support, with the three of us taking all of that, we're able to show you guys and share with you guys all of the fun and love and joy that the children had in Taiwan. So I'm grateful that through our hard work and our teamwork, we can share the joy of Taiwan Mission with you. So all glory to God in heavens.